Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the haunted Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. The MSS crew has become zombified and will be presenting to you a terrifying, spooky internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Today's date is October 31st, 2015, and this is your vampire host, Luis Jr., and today's show will be presented by our executive and terrifying producer, Daniel Vigil, and the scary director of MSS, Miguel Amaro. Without any further delays, I would ask that everyone please sit back. Enjoy the program. Daniel, the microphone is yours.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience. Welcome to 2015.
Welcome into Daniel's Den.
And welcome to this Halloween edition of Michael's Saturday Surprise.
Saturday Surprise.
Tonight, in honor of the date on the calendar, I am presenting something from The Mysterious Traveler, broadcast on November 6th, 1951, entitled Behind the Locked Door.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Mysterious Traveler, written, produced, and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Colton, and starring two of radio's foremost personalities, Lyle Sudro and Robert Donnelly, in Behind the Locked Door.
This is a mysterious traveler inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, and it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as I bring you the strange and chilling story so many of you have asked to hear again. I call it Behind the Locked Door. Our story begins in the beautiful mountain region of Lake Mead, Arizona. A convertible car is speeding along a deserted road which winds through the mountains. The car slows down, turns into a dirt road. A few minutes later, it comes to a stop before a small mountain lodge. Kathy Evans, an attractive girl in her early 20s, gets out of the car, runs up the steps of the lodge to the front door. She knocks impatiently, looking about anxiously.
Yes?
Martin.
Kathy.
I thought I'd find you here. Aren't you going to ask me?
Go away, Kathy.
Martin, what's wrong?
Go away.
Not until I find out what this is all about. Well, let me in. Are you alone?
Alone? Yes.
Darling, look at yourself. You haven't shaved in days. Martin, those deep gashes on your neck and face. How did you get them?
It doesn't matter.
Darling, you must have lost a great deal of blood. And you're feverish.
Yes, I know.
Is it true about Professor Stevens?
Yes.
Why did you leave town so suddenly last night? The authorities are looking for you.
Do they know I'm here?
No. How could they? It was intuition that brought me here.
They mustn't find me.
Martin, nothing makes sense. You return from an expedition last night alone, unexpected. You stay in town 1 hour and then vanish, not even phoning me.
It's best that way, believe me, Kathy.
You've got to tell me everything that's happened.
I can't, Kathy, I can't.
I'm your fiancé. I've got a right
Kathy,
to know.
Kathy, go away, please.
I won't go away until you tell me what's happened.
If I do, then will you go?
Yes.
I don't know where to begin. I suppose if you can say it had a beginning, it was that day a little over 2 weeks ago in Professor Stevens' office.
Come in, Martin. Come in. Have a seat.
Thank you, Professor.
Martin, how would you like to go exploring with me for, say, 10 days, 2 weeks at the outside?
Exploring where?
The Vermilion Cliffs along the Colorado River. I found some wonderful Aztec pieces there last summer. One large cave I stumbled on proved to be a veritable treasure trove.
Yes, I've seen those Aztec pieces in the University Museum.
Now, the Vermilion Cliffs still remain largely unexplored. I'm sure that we could turn up many more objects of interest.
It certainly sounds intriguing. The only reason I hesitate, Professor, is because of Kathy.
Oh, I'm sure she'd give you a 2 week leave of absence.
Yes, I suppose so. How many of us would go?
Well, it would just be you, myself, and an Indian guide, and 3 burros. I find that the fewer there are on an expedition, the better.
Mm-hmm. When would we leave?
Well, what about the day after tomorrow?
All right, Professor, I'm with you. So these are the Vermilion Cliffs, Professor.
Yes. An awe-inspiring sight, aren't they? Well,
they're as breathtaking as the Grand Canyon itself. I had no idea they towered so high.
Yes, they make you realize just how insignificant man really is.
Yeah.
Now, this region is so desolate, Martin, that it's all but unexplored. That's why I'm drawn to it time and time again.
Yes, I can understand that. It represents the challenge of the unknown.
Careful, Martin, you'll get the exploring bug.
Oh, I've already been bitten, Professor.
Well, if you're going to be an explorer and an archaeologist, I'll have to start teaching you the fundamentals of the profession. Sam, this seems like a good spot. We'll camp here for the night.
Phew. Well, it certainly is hot, Professor. Exploring isn't as easy as I thought.
Yeah.
All right, Professor, what is it? For 20 minutes now, you've been sitting on that rock staring at that cliff.
Note the boulders strewn over the face of that cliff.
What about them?
Well, that's a very peculiar landslide. If you carefully study the formation of it...
What's peculiar about it?
Many of the rocks look as though they'd been placed there by human hands.
But why and by whom?
Well... One of the ancient Aztec forms of punishment was to seal a person in a cave by means of a landslide or just piling heavy rocks in front of the mouth of a cave.
That landslide, there must be hundreds of tons of rock there.
Yes. Well, fortunately, we're prepared for it.
Is that why you brought the dynamite along?
Yes. Probably all we'll find will be a skeleton. In that case, it'll have been a waste of dynamite. However, we'll chance it. Oh, Sam.
What do you want?
Get the case of dynamite, Sam. I'm going to blast that landslide.
Professor. Better leave it same way it be.
Why?
Evil spirit sleep in cave. Better not wake him up.
You really believe that?
Martin, I wouldn't laugh. Sam may be uneducated. But he senses things that you and I can't even begin to comprehend.
Well, now, wait a minute. You mean you believe what he said about
evil being asleep in that cave?
I wouldn't say that I believe it. But nevertheless, I respect Sam's opinion. Sam, I still want to blast that landslide.
I get dynamite.
Keep your head down, Martin. When I set that dynamite off, there are going to be a great many rocks flying around.
Don't worry, Professor. I've got cover.
Sam, you ready?
Yes, Professor.
Right. Here goes. Keep your heads down. All right. It's safe now.
Professor, I think you did it. I can see a small opening. It looks like a mouth of a cave.
Yes, it is. Sam, let me have one of the flashlights. Martin, you take the other. I'll lead the way in.
Just as you say, Professor.
The air doesn't seem too bad in here. Yes, it's all right.
Yeah, what's that noise?
Just rats scurrying around. Certainly a huge cavern. Look at that ceiling. Must be 200 feet high.
Look at the bats up there.
Yes, huge ones. I have a feeling that this cavern and others extend for miles underground.
Professor, look.
Skeleton.
Yes. There's another one over there.
Yes. Let's see what else there is.
Wagon train.
What?
Good Lord. Sam's right. It's a wagon train.
A wagon train?
Yes. But there are at least 30 or 40 wagons in this cavern. Look. Skeletons of horses.
Yeah. Here's a skeleton with an arrow beside it.
Let me see it. Appears to be a Navajo arrow. What do you think, Sam?
Navajo. Professor, this wagon train, what's it all mean?
Well, many years ago, this wagon train was attacked by Indians. Wagon train retreated into this cavern, hoping to save themselves that way.
And then the Indians caused the landslide, sealing them in.
Yeah.
Poor devils.
Look, notice that old gun lying there.
Yeah.
The flintlock. Seems to suggest that this wagon train must be at least 100 years old.
Yeah, probably headed for the California gold rush of 1848.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back tomorrow and search this wagon train thoroughly. I'm sure we'll find many things of great interest.
The next morning, after an early breakfast, Sam and I followed Professor Stevens back into the cabin. We spent the morning investigating the trunks and boxes we found on the wagons, and among the moldy clothing and 101 household articles, we found faded letters and newspapers which showed the wagon train had crossed the Mississippi in the summer of 1849, headed west for California and gold. We finished rummaging among the effects of the wagons, and the professor suggested we explore the cavern. We followed him from one cavern to another, each varying in size. Now and then the professor would stop to mark our trail, for the caverns were honeycombed with countless passageways.
How far do you think we've come, Professor?
I should say we're about a mile from the wagon train. We'll go back a few more minutes.
We go back now. This place evil.
Well, Sam, if there are ghosts here, they're only the ghosts of the people in the wagon train. They wouldn't harm us.
I tell you evil. Feel it. All around. We'll go back.
We'll go just a little further. And turn back.
Professor, wait a minute.
What is it, Martin?
I think I hear running water.
Yes, you're right. Come along.
We seem to be getting closer.
Yes.
Evil all around us.
Can't be much further.
Well, there it is. Yeah. It's a small river. Look how swiftly it's flowing.
Yes. This probably flows for miles underground, and it empties into the Colorado River.
I say, Professor, here along the bank, there's a tremendous pile of fish bones.
Yes, so there is.
Look. Now, there are even more on the other side of the river.
Hmm.
What do these huge piles of fish bones mean?
It's very strange.
Well, how do you account for it?
I'm afraid that at the moment I can't. Sam, you any ideas about it?
He will fall around us. Feel him strong.
Professor, he's trembling.
Sam, there's nothing to be afraid of. Look, I'll shine my flashlight around, see?
We're being watched.
Watched? What are you talking about?
Won't stay here. I go!
Sam, come back! You haven't even got a flashlight. Sam! Come on, Mark. We've got to catch him. Sam! Wait for us!
I can still hear his footsteps.
We've got to catch him. He can do himself a serious injury running in the dark like that. Sam! Wait for us!
Professor, it's Sam screaming.
This way. That fool's probably broken his leg.
No, that sounds more like a fight.
Fight? Who could he possibly be fighting with?
I don't know. He stopped.
Sam, where are you? Keep shining the flashlight around. Can't be much further. Sam!
There he is.
Yes.
Yeah. He's just sitting against that boulder. His head down.
Sam, give me a hand with him.
God, Lord. His face. Nick.
Yes.
Who could have done this to him?
I don't know.
But there must be an explanation. There has to be.
Martin, I have a theory. But it's so incredible, I can't bring myself to voice it.
Well, tell me.
Martin, you think I'm insane.
Tell me.
What if the people of the wagon train, or rather the descendants, are alive here in these huge caverns?
Well, that's impossible.
Why? Picture what happened the day the 150 people or so were sealed into this mountain by the Indians. What would have been the first thing they'd have done?
Try to dig their way out.
Exactly. They start digging and find there are 100-ton boulders blocking the entrance, and they have no dynamite. They're forced to give up.
Yes?
They spend days looking for another way out, fail to find one. The day comes when all their food is gone. Starvation sets in.
All right. Then that would mean they would all die.
Not necessarily. The strongest of them stumble along in the darkness and find the underground river. They catch an abundance of fish and are able to survive.
The huge fishbone piles along the river.
Right. The river was an everlasting supply of food. They continue to live by the river in the dark. Some probably went insane, died. Others adjusted themselves to their new environment.
Professor, you think those handful of survivors had descendants who are alive today inside this mountain?
Yes, Martin. And it was one of them who clawed Sam to death.
What can those descendants be like, being born and living in darkness?
I can only guess. I should imagine they'd be blind or near to it. But their other senses would be remarkably developed.
Their physical appearance.
I don't know.
It's all like a nightmare. A nightmare you can't awaken from. What's to prevent them from attacking us?
And our flashlights, for one thing. I'm sure light frightens them, just as fire frightens animals. Fortunately, I have a revolver.
Well, we better move on. Wait a minute, what about Sam?
There's nothing we can do for him now. Come along, Martin. We must find the trail I marked so that we can get out of here.
Huh.
Seems we've been searching days for the markings you left.
Yes. Actually, it's been 10 hours. Listen.
What? The river.
Yes. Come along. Once we reach the river, we'll be able to pick up the trail I marked.
Well, we're getting closer.
Yes.
There it is.
Here we are. Look, Martin, there's my marking on the passageway. We found the trail.
Yes.
Martin, it's 2 a.m. We'd better rest for a few hours. We're both too exhausted to go on right now. It's one of us stand guard, and the other sleeps.
All right. I'll sit up the first hour.
Thank you, Martin. Keep your flashlight on.
Don't worry. I will.
In a matter of minutes, the professor fell asleep. I sat on guard, flashing my light slowly around the huge cavern. I looked at my watch, and the seconds seemed like minutes, and the minutes like hours. My eyes grew heavy, and I finally dozed off. Suddenly, I awakened in the darkness to hear the professor screaming.
Martin! Help me! Turn on the flashlight!
Frankly, frantically, I fumbled in the darkness, but I couldn't find it. And suddenly, I was shot. By the flashes of the gun, I could see the professor struggling with a huge, dark figure. And suddenly, all was quiet. Except for the professor's moans. As I crawled toward him, in the darkness, my hand struck the flashlight. I turned it on, and there was the professor.
Martin... I think I'm wounded.
You're bleeding badly. Let me stanch your wounds.
Too late. Leave at once. At once.
But what about you? Professor? Professor! I felt his heart, but there was no beat. I staggered to my feet. Shined my flashlight around until I found the professor's markings. I stumbled wearily along the marked passageway, trying not to remember my last glimpse of the professor's face. I hadn't gone more than 100 yards when suddenly my flashlight flickered and went out. As I stood alone in the darkness, rats scampering past, I fought to keep from screaming. The darkness seemed to become heavier and more oppressive with each passing moment, and I had the feeling something was silently approaching. I backed up against the passage wall and waited, my eyes straining in the darkness, and then suddenly I was leaped upon by a wild fury. I threw my arms up with razor-like claws right in my face and neck. Again and again, the guard was savage, was knocked aside, and I could feel the blood streaming down my face and neck. And then suddenly the deathly clawing ceased as my attacker turned to ward off something in the dark. As I sank to my knees, I was dimly aware of a fierce fight taking place, and then consciousness left me. Later. How much later, I have no way of knowing. I became aware of a heavy, calloused hand washing my face and neck with water. I winced in pain as the water flowed into the deep cuts, and then suddenly I remembered all. And remembering all, became aware of the calloused hand washing my face and the presence of someone beside me in the darkness.
Oh. Who are you?
For a moment, the hand hesitated, then resumed washing the neck.
Well, can't you speak? Say something!
A noise came from its throat that was more that of an animal's than a human being.
If I could only see you. Do you have a name?
It spoke. Seemed to repeat the word name, though I couldn't be sure.
faint from the loss of blood, I closed my eyes and fell asleep. When I awoke, my face and neck felt stiff and painful. It seemed to sense I was awake, for as I opened my eyes and stared into the darkness, it came to my side.
Oh. Kent! Kent, you understand anything at all? Don't my words make any sense to you? Why did you save my life?
My hand brushed against its hand. And I could feel the sharp, claw-like fingers on it. I reached out in the darkness as I touched its face. It bit my hand. I tried to get to my feet, but it placed a strong hand on my shoulder and held me down. At that moment, I realized that not only was it my savior, but my jailer as well. I lost all track of time. Now and then, it would leave me. And I would cautiously get to my feet to steal off, but no sooner had I taken more than a few steps than it would be there at my side, forcing me to return to the bank of the river. I spent my every waking moment trying to think of a way to escape. And then, when my despair was greatest, an idea came to me. The professor had said that the underground river I lay beside emptied into the Colorado River. Though the odds were 100-1 against my surviving, I knew it was the only possible way of escape. Slowly, I crawled a few remaining feet to the edge of the river and, leaning over, started to wash my face. I could sense that it was watching me. I leaned forward a few inches more and fell into the river. As I came up for air in the swift flowing water, I heard a splash beside me. A moment later, I felt its arms around me. The current swept us along with breathtaking speed, and as we clung to each other, I discovered that it couldn't swim. For what seemed hours, the river swept us along in the darkness, and I felt myself losing consciousness as I attempted to keep the two of us above water. When I regained consciousness, Kathy, we were both lying on a sandbar in the Colorado River. And the sun was beating down on us.
Darling, you're delirious from your wounds. You need a doctor.
I wish it were simple as all that.
You're feverish. You need care.
Go away, Kathy. Go away.
How can I? Leaving you alone like this?
Don't you understand? I'm not alone. She's here.
She's here?
Yes. Didn't I tell you? Turned out to be a she.
You're out of your mind. You don't know what you're saying.
When I first saw her, that first time, lying unconscious on that sandbar, my first instinct was to leave her there, but how could I? She had saved my life in the cavern and then jumped into the river when she thought I was drowning, even though she couldn't swim herself.
Martin, I want you to get a grip on yourself.
Just as I was dependent on her in the dark, she's dependent on me in the light. She's blind. She can't speak yet. She...
Stop talking like that.
You can't believe it's true, can you, Kathy? Neither could I at first.
What are you staring at?
Huh?
Is there anyone in that bedroom? Well, I'll soon find out. Why is the door locked?
She's in there.
Martin, you're sick. You don't know what you're saying. I'll prove to you there's no one in that room. It's just your imagination. Give me the key to the door.
Kathy, go
Give
away.
Give it to me. Thank you. Perhaps when you see the room is empty, you'll be willing to return to town for medical treatment. There. I told you.
This is the mysterious traveler again. Did you enjoy our trip?
What's that, madam? You want a description of what Kathy saw when she opened that bedroom door?
Well, you might ask Kathy. The only trouble is, the poor girl gets hysterical when you question her about the occupant of that bedroom. I suggest you write a letter to the Museum of Horrors for a full description. They consider the Woman of the Mountain as their star exhibit. Because when she's... Oh, you have to get off here. I'm sorry. I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at the same time.
You have just heard The Mysterious Traveler. You may now enjoy other exciting adventures of The Mysterious Traveler in a current issue of The Mysterious Traveler magazine. And our cast, Lyle Sudrow, Ann Shepherd, and Robert Dantley, with Maurice Toplin in the title role. Bill Tonkin speaking. This program came to you from New York. Mutual's ace commentator, Cecil Brown, currently on a 3-month fact-finding tour of the world, heads for the Orient on the last lap of his history-making trip. In these last weeks, Mr. Brown will bring you on-the-scene reports from such tinderbox areas as India, Hong Kong, Hawaii, Japan, and Honolulu. You won't want to miss any of the eyewitness accounts by this able commentator of the latest happenings in these headline-making spots of the world. Be sure to listen to the news reports of Cecil Brown over most of these stations. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That was The Mysterious Traveler, Behind the Locked Door, broadcast on November 6th, 1951. I hope that you found this as enjoyable as I did. And now it's time to close the doors of Daniel's Den and usher in someone else to stand behind this mic. For that, we're going to need our official MSS announcer.
MSS announcer.
Luis, it's all yours.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I am back. I hope that everyone is enjoying our special edition program. Miguel, the microphone is yours.
Thanks, Luis. Hi, everybody. Welcome to my half of Michael Saturday's surprise for this Saturday. I promise you, this will be the last time for a while you guys have to hear from me. Would like to present for you tonight, Lights Out, December 8th, 1942, Scoop.
Ionized Yeast presents Lights Out, everybody. It is later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you, calmly but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
My name, Arch Obler. Tonight, another exciting Lights Out story for all of you who like to thrill and chill to tales of the unusual. Tonight's story happened because... One rainy night, I found myself stranded near an old New England graveyard. But first, Frank Martin for just a few seconds.
Huh? Everybody.
Daily Express. City editor, one moment. Daily Express. Want ad department, one moment, please. There you are. Daily Express. Sport department. Whom do you wish to speak to? One moment, please. Daily Express. One moment, I'll connect you.
Good morning, Mr. Roberts.
Good morning, Jim.
Kind of late today, aren't you, Mr. Roberts?
First time in 40 years. Can't understand what happened to my alarm clock.
Well, maybe it wore out.
Worn out? Maybe that's right. Just worn out.
Now, hold up a minute, will you, Mr. Roberts? I want to talk to you.
I'm late, Father. What can I...
It's about that money, Mr. Roberts. I was wondering if you'd wait to save...
Of course, my boy, of course. How is she?
Oh, doing fine. Mr. Roberts, I want you to know how much Jean and I appreciate
all
you...
All right, all right. We're all human beings together, aren't we?
Some folks are.
I'm late. Got to hurry. See you later.
Thanks again, Mr. Roberts.
Oh, ho, ho.
Sam. Sam Roberts.
Yes, Harry.
Have you heard the news?
No. It was so late, didn't even look at the paper.
Why, it's only 2 minutes after.
2 minutes after is 2 minutes late, Harry.
Sam Roberts, you're the... Oh, well. Listen, have you heard about Bridge? He's here.
Eh?
Bridge. Mr. Bridge, the new publisher.
Oh, him. Well, that's nice. He's taking things over.
Sam, you're not in the least bit interested in the fact that there's a new man on top, are you?
Well, I've been here so long, and many have come and gone.
But aren't you afraid of...
Well, finish it, Harry. Afraid of what?
Oh, forget it. That column of yours is all that matters, huh, Sam?
Well, I've been doing it quite a number of years. You know, just this morning, I was thinking how fortunate a man I am. For 40 years, things have happened. Wars, peace conferences, depressions, and prosperity. And in all that
Mr.
time,
Roberts,
I...
Mr. Roberts.
Someone paging you, Sam.
Eh?
Mr. Roberts, you wanted upstairs right away.
Upstairs, Jim? Me?
He said come up right away. New boss, Mr. Bridge.
Mr. Bridge?
Yeah, right away. He's the boss.
That's not so good, Sam.
What did you say?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. You'd better get up there.
Sure. Too bad I was late today. Maybe he's been waiting for me.
Take the sidestep, Sam. Get up there faster.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Harry. Thanks.
Good luck, Sam.
Luck? Why should I need luck? Funny about that alarm clock.
Yes?
I've never seen... Oh, you're new here, aren't you, Miss?
I'm Miss Ronson, Mr. Bridges' new secretary. What is it, please?
I'm Sam Roberts. Column on the editorial page.
Oh, yes. Mr. Bridge was expecting you. If you'll wait a moment.
Yes.
Yes?
Mr. Roberts is here, Mr. Bridge.
All right, send him in a hurry.
Yes, sir. Very well. You can go in now.
Yes, so I heard.
All right, Roberts, come in.
Yes, sir.
Well, come in.
Yes, sir.
Sit there.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Bridge.
Sit down.
Thank you. You know, Mr. Bridge, I think you're going to like publishing the Daily Express. What I mean to say is, on this paper, you'll find a group of men who work together, who actually think that the newspaper is part of their lives, who actually...
Just a moment, Mr. Roberts. I'm a busy man.
I couldn't understand that.
I didn't ask you up here to hear about the esprit de corps of this organization. It's been my personal experience that the average man does what he's paid for. No more, no less.
Oh, now don't say that, Mr. Bridge. Now you take Charlie down at number one linotype. Why, there's a man
Mr.
who...
Roberts.
I'm sorry. I know you're busy, but I thought maybe you'd like to know something.
I've seen the balance sheet. I know all I want to know about this publication. The Daily Express earned 23% less in the 6 months of this fiscal year than it did in a similar period in any year in its history.
Well, I don't know much about that. But after all, things haven't been going too well any place. You can't blame the men.
The men of an organization make money. The men of an organization lose money. And I assure you, Mr. Roberts, that during the next 6 months, this newspaper will make money.
Well, that's fine. I'm sure folks...
Will you keep quiet?
If that's what you want.
Mr. Roberts, there comes a time in every man's life when he ceases to be an asset to the organization which hires him. Might as well be frank and tell you that that time has come in your career.
What did you say, Mr. Bridge?
In plain English, what I said was that you're getting just a little too old for this organization.
Old?
In other words, I'm giving you 2 weeks' notice. Sorry, Mr. Roberts, but that's the way things are. Good day, sir.
You mean fired?
The cashier will have your check. Good day.
But my column...
I'm a busy man, Mr. Roberts.
But my column...
I'm replacing that tomorrow with a syndicated column. Big name Broadway stuff. That's what the public wants.
Mr. Bridge, you don't understand. thousands of people. They write me. For 40 years I've been...
If you've been doing it for 40 years, that's long enough. Good day, Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Bridge, listen. Where should I go? Ever since I was 16, this is my work. I don't know.
Must I have you shown up, Mr. Roberts?
No. I don't want to anger you, but my column... 40 years, I tell you.
Will you?
It isn't the money. I'll work for nothing.
If
yes,
you...
I'll work for nothing.
Now, look here, Roberts. If
Didn't you hear me, Mr. Bridge? For nothing. Just let me be here.
Get out of here.
No. Listen to me. Just a minute more.
I have no time. Get out.
But my 40 years here, since I was a boy.
You've been paid for every day.
Then I don't want any more pay. Just let me stay. My work. A man can't live without his work.
Get out. Miss Ronson.
No. I'll go. But before I go, just another word.
Well?
Who wants me to go? The managing editor or you?
Certainly it's my doing. It's my money invested in the paper. It's my right to choose my employee.
Let me stay.
Oh, what are you going to do? Start playing hearts and flowers?
Please.
Once and for all, get out of here. This is a business institution. You've been paid for services rendered. Now get out of here and stop acting like a fool.
All right, Mr. Briggs. All right.
Go ahead with the rest of them. Get them up here one at a time.
Yes, Mr. Bridge.
Every man in the organization over 50, understand?
Yes, Mr. Bridge. Do you want me to include...
What? Miss Ronson. Miss Ronson, what's the matter? Answer me. Crazy little fool screaming like that. Answer me. All right, I'll come out there and see what's the matter. Look here, Miss Ronson. Didn't you hear me? What was the idea of... Miss Ronson, what's the matter with you?
The window. Look.
Window? What about the window?
That old man, Mr. Roberts.
Well?
He just jumped out.
Ladies and gentlemen, a man is dead. And before this death leads to the other terrors that lie ahead in this strange story, suppose we pause for a moment, relax, and take time out for a deep breath in the midst of our lights-out story. Let's take time to eavesdrop on two young girls. One of them is very unhappy. Ooh. Lights out. The publisher and his chauffeur are driving along a country road.
Jenkins?
Yes, sir.
Why are you taking this road?
Well, I don't quite know.
What do you mean you don't know? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean it's a shortcut here.
Now, why didn't you say so in the first place?
Sorry, sir.
Jenkins?
Yes, sir.
How soon do you think we'll get to Hartville?
About midnight, sir.
Well, that wife of mine, she thinks of the blamedest time, Mr. Jenkins! Jenkins, what are we slowing up for?
I don't know, sir. The engine.
Well, of all the infernal times and places. Jenkins, what's the idea?
Ain't my idea stopping, sir. It's the engine.
This is no time for cleverness. You car like this stalling, I never heard of such a thing. Get it started quickly.
Yes, sir.
Well.
Something's wrong.
Now, that's brilliant. Get out, you fool, and fix it.
Okay.
What's that?
I said yes, sir.
Oh, the rattle brain. Well, what are you doing out there?
Trying to find the trouble.
Well, don't try. Find it. Oh, I better go out and... see myself what... Well, have you located the trouble?
No, sir.
What do you mean, no, sir? Do you know your business or don't you?
Don't seem to be getting any spark. The distributors don't...
And why doesn't the engine go? What do I pay you for? To stand around lonely roads in the middle of the night holding guessing games?
I'm doing my best.
Don't you talk back to me. If this car started, you incompetent good for nothing or you're fired. You understand me?
Yeah. Okay.
Jenkins, where are you going? Jenkins!
Said I was fired, did you?
Come back here at once.
Yeah, I'll come back. Long enough to tell you that if I could take about 20 years off you, I'll change your face plenty before walking out on you.
Why, how dare you?
You shove everybody else around. But you shove me around for the last time. I'm walking out on you, sourpuss. I'm walking out right now.
Why, you can't leave me here in the middle of nowhere.
Can't I? Well, I'm doing it.
Now, Jenkins, you...
So long, dictator. Have a nice walk.
Jenkins! Jenkins, don't be a fool. Come back here. Jenkins, get this car started. Jenkins! Oh, all right. If you haven't heard the last of this, I'll fix you, you hoodlum. Leaving me like this, you'll regret it, Jenkins. Blasted dark. Think I'll walk my feet off, huh? Oh, no, I won't. Get in the car. Sit here until someone comes along. Infernal hoodlum.
I beg your pardon.
But
could I be of assistance?
Well, where? What?
I was walking along. I saw you were stalled here.
Oh. Oh, well, that's fine. Yes, you can help me. I'll pay you well, too.
Will you?
Certainly, certainly. You know about cars?
I will drive.
Well, that's fine, but you'll have to get it started first. Something about the ignition. I don't know much about machinery, do you?
If you will let me sit behind the steering wheel.
Certainly, certainly, but fix the engine first.
If you will let me sit behind the steering
wheel. I tell you, the engine... Oh, all right. You'll see for yourself the starter doesn't do any good. But... Start.
Yes.
Infernal Jenkins, he stalled me here deliberately.
We will go.
He'll regret this night, believe you me. Nothing wrong with the car at all, was there?
It runs well.
Say, what's the idea of turning down this road? This isn't the way to...
It's a short way.
Huh?
A much shorter way.
You mean to Hartville?
I assure you, a much shorter way.
Oh, fine. You're a pretty clever fella. Say, how would you like working as my chauffeur? I pay well, treat my help well. But did you hear me? I said, how would you like the job working for me? I'll start you out at... Hey, why do you keep your head turned? What? I turn the headlights off. Stop the car. The headlights are off. Stop the car. You can't drive in the dark.
I know the road well.
This is no dim-out area. Someone might run into us. Stop the car.
There is no time to wait.
Yes, yes, I'll grant you I'm in a hurry, but if you think I'm going to jeopardize my life driving in the dark like this, you're crazy. Stop the car. Stop it. Well, it's more like it. No use jeopardizing my life. Well, come on, get out. You can fix the light.
Yeah.
Everything happening at once. Blasted automobile. Well, why stand there? You going to fix the light?
There will be light enough soon.
Huh? What are you talking about?
The moon.
The moon?
In a moment. The moonlight.
Moonlight? Who cares about moonlight? Fix the lights and... What?
You see...
Cemetery. The cemetery.
We went where the road led.
What's the meaning of this?
Come.
Come? Come where? What are you up to? Why did you bring me to this infernal graveyard?
Follow me.
Follow you? Where? Among the tombstones?
This way.
Are you crazy? Get me out of here quickly.
You will follow me.
What are you up to? Your face. I have seen you before. This blasted half-light. I do know you, don't I?
I ask you once more. Come with me.
No. No violence. My money. It's in my inside pocket. Let me go, but no violence.
With me.
No. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. I can't stand pain. I'll go with you. I'll go.
This way.
If you think there's any profit in kidnapping me, let me tell you you're mistaken. Here, take my wallet and show me the way out of here, and we'll forget about the whole thing.
This way.
No. Don't make me walk too fast. I'm not used to walking. It isn't good for me to walk so fast. Now, listen, man, you've got to tell me. Where are you taking me? Where is there to go in the cemetery? I don't like it, I tell you, I don't. If this is your idea of a joke, I tell you, I don't like it. The tombstones shining so white, they're like hands stuck up out of the ground. No, I won't go any further. I don't care what you do, I won't go any... The moonlight's gone. Fellow, where are you? It's gotten so dark. Don't leave me here. There's infernal graves and tombstones. Answer me, where are you? All right. Find my way up myself. So infernally dark, I can't see an inch in front of me. Doorknob. A door here. What? Yeah. But how? What steps going down? I wonder what... Door! Let me out. Let me out of here!
I'm here.
Huh? Where? Oh. I heard you. Are you down there?
I am here.
Tell me, is that the way out?
The way out.
Oh. Wait for me. So infernally dark. Just get me out of here. Get me back in my car. Any place but out of this infernal cemetery. I'll pay you well, anything you want. Oh. There you are. What is this place? Where am I? Well, don't stand there in the shadows. Talk up. Where am I?
Look about you.
Infernal candlelight. What can I see? You said this was the way out. Well, lead the way.
Take up the candle.
All right, all right.
Look at the wall alongside of you. Hold the candle high.
What is this place?
You see?
Coffins.
The mausoleum of the family of Bridge. Your family.
No.
Look closely. The brass plate on that one.
Jeremiah Bridge. Born 1802, died 1858. My grandfather.
You never were here before, were you?
Huh? Oh, no, no, of course not. I can't stand funerals and such things. Why am I here now?
They lived their years. The men of the family called Grit. They lived their years like robber barons.
Hmm?
And then they died, and here in darkness rots their bones.
What are you talking about? Who are you? Why did you bring me here?
I tried to rest, yet found no rest as long as you were living.
Who are you?
As long as you were living.
Answer me, who are you? Take your arm away from your face and let me see. Roberts.
Yes. I tried to rest, but the thought of all the men, my friends, whose hearts you'd break as you broke mine, that thought kept tearing at the dead bones of me until I thrust up out of the grave and came back for
Roberts,
you.
Roberts, your face.
My coffin was a poor one. Worms and maggots worked quickly.
No.
The dead are dead, they told me.
Stay back.
The dead can't walk, they told me.
No closer.
The dead can't talk, they told me.
Stay back.
And yet I walk, I talk.
Back.
When you took away my work, you took away my life.
Back.
All the years I lived, I was what they call a good man. Asking so little. A place to sleep, my work to do.
No, 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 stop. I can't bear to look at you.
But when you took my work and with it my life, my goodness and kindness went too. In the grave, I learned the will to kill.
No, no, not me.
You hear me? Kill.
But
and you, the one to be
no,
killed.
No, no, not me, not me, not me. You can't kill me.
Here in the place where all of your breed lie rotting, no. This is the place for you.
No, stay back. I can't go any further than the wall.
There's hate in me you, now.
No.
Hate. That please. Wants to tear the eyes that saw only profit from your head.
Oh, please, no, I beg of
hate
you.
Hate that wants to rip that fatty, hypocritical tongue
no,
from out your head.
Please, not me.
Hate that wants to rip the skin from off your flesh.
No, stop. Dead can't kill the living.
Hate can kill in life or death.
No, I'll get away from you. I will. Dark again. Roberts, where are you? I can't see. Then where... Gone. Hide. I'll hide till morning. What? Box. Coffin. Empty coffin on the floor. Yes, hide in it. Climb in. Put the lid down. Never get me in here. Ghosts and old material things. Never get me. Wait until morning. Get away then. Never happened anyway. Hallucination. Man jumped out of the window. How could he live again? Air. I think air's getting bad. Open the lid and see if he's gone. Can't budge it. He's sitting on it. Robert, he's holding it tight. Get off. Get off. The air, I'll suffocate. Get off. Robert, get off.
You say, Miss Ransom?
Yes?
Where's Mr. Bridge? Something's come up about the Grosvenor contract. Said he'd have the paper signed.
Just a minute. Mr. Bridge hasn't come in yet this morning.
Morning? Well, it's almost noon.
I know it is, but he isn't here.
Had about a dozen appointments, but he just isn't here.
Perhaps he left it on his desk.
You'd better not disturb his papers.
Oh, I won't. Miss Watson, come here, quick.
What is it? What's the matter?
Look, the proof sheet for tonight's paper. Where did it come from?
Why, I don't know. It wasn't there when I came in this morning.
Look at it.
All right. Scoop. J. Rogers Bridge, publisher of the Daily Express, committed suicide last night in his family mausoleum in the Rosewood Cemetery. Oh, no.
And look. Look at the signature. It's signed Roberts.
Roberts. Oh, but he's the old man who jumped out of the window.
Wait. Look. Message. It's printed on... Oh, no.
Printed on what? Tell me.
On a piece of human skin.
Heard that a good newspaper man has supernatural powers, but I never expected to meet one who had returned from the grave to make his last deadline. Oh, by the way, that brings up something I've been meaning to ask you.
What's that, Frank?
Do you think that under some circumstances a person might return from the dead?
Frank, I do have an idea about that, but I'm going to suggest that we put it with the unfinished business to be taken up in the near future, because after you say a word, I've got something very important I'd like to say to our listeners.
Ironize. And look for the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet. Now, Arch Oboler with a serious message for every American.
Ladies and gentlemen, a few weeks ago on another network, I started a game. Perhaps you heard about it. It's called They're Here for Me. It's a very simple game. You sit where you are and you think, the Japs, the Nazis, they're here for me. Not for someone in the newspaper or someone in a town halfway across the world or someone I don't even know in this neighborhood or even for my neighbor next door. But for me. For me. Yeah, a smirking little Jap is standing at the door. He's there for you. Not in the headlines, not just in an idea, but actually there for you. It can't happen, you know. 3 million dead in Europe attest to that fact. Now, even if the words such as duty to one's fellow man and patriotism and a better world to come and all that sort of thing may not mean much to you, out of self-interest, these words should. They're here for me. Think about that Jap or that Nazi waiting for you. And then remember that every war-saving stamp and every war bond that you buy is a bullet or a bomb or a tank or an airplane between you personally and the horror of a Jap-Nazi world. Every bond that you buy, another bullet or another bomb or another tank or another airplane between you personally and the horror of a Jap-Nazi world. Tell your employer to start taking that 10% out of your pay, starting right now.
Lights Out will come to you again next Tuesday at this same time. Be sure to listen to Arch Oboler's chilling story of Knock at the Door. And if you need more vitamin B and iron, be sure to try Ironized Yeast, the one and only Ironized Yeast, with the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet.
It is later than you think.
Ever hear of a substitute for new clothes? You may want one someday now that many clothing materials are becoming harder to get. So take care of your present clothes and let Energene cleaning fluid help you do it. Energene removes little grease spots that are the favorite feeding place of moths. Grease spots that make your clothes look worn, run down, old before their time. And Energene removes those grease spots easily. Simple directions are right on the Energene container. Get some tomorrow and start getting more satisfactory wear from your clothes by keeping them free of grease spots with Energene cleaning fluid. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you.
That was Lights Out, Scoop, December 8th, 1942. All right, Colonel, there you have it. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you guys have enjoyed our split presentation for tonight. Let me turn things over to Luis so that he can put the finishing touches on tonight's program. Let me remind you about our Christmas marathon coming up here, December 12th, 99 Pacific, noon to midnight Eastern. Luis, my friend, come and tell these people how to post complaints, comments, grievances, questions, requests, whatever else may be on their minds.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is just about going to do it for this week's special Halloween edition broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. I would like to give a special thanks to our presenters tonight, Miguel Amato, Daniel V. Hill. As usual, good work. It is now time to wrap things up. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about tonight's program, or maybe even a request or two, please address them to michaemeli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. Just remember, be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, we would like to bid you farewell and ask that you please come back again and join us next week, where we will be bringing to you another round of OTR surprises. If everyone could just please have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.